is a mitzvah sefira salima. And the question is, why we count the olmos? And Seder, the first thing we need to do, if we come from, let's approach it from a brisk type of standpoint, is we have to figure out what type of mitzvah we're dealing with. So we have, as I always say, Arabeim and Cheder taught us there are two types of mitzvahs, chukim and mishpatim. Right? Mishpatim are general civil laws which are found relatively in every society in the world. And because people understand the very, with certainty, that they have to have laws against murder, theft, torts, etc. There has to be a civil code, otherwise you can't have civil society. Then we have chukim. There are kashrus, shatnas, things which we see exactly what their purpose is. And consequently, the world doesn't enact such laws, and we have their particular deklau yisrael. But those only two of the three types. Our Chayyad Rabbeim got two-thirds of the story right. One-third they left out. And that is the Chochem. And the Haggadah asks, Moha Eidah Yisvachukim V'Mishpotim Asher Tziva Hashem Alokeinu Escha. So the Torah tells us there are three types of mitzvahs. Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpotim. So Chukim and Mishpotim we've defined. Eidos should generally testify as testimonies. Believe, as Rav Shamshon or Paul Hirsch would put it, it means there are mitzvahs which connect us either with great philosophical notions or great historical matters in the history of Klal Yisrael. Right? Shabbos connects us with the notion of Masa Bereishis. Right? It's a philosophical notion. It's hard to call it exactly a historical notion. None of us were there to see it. But it's to connect us with the notion of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the Bore, Bereishis Bara Elokim. It's the most fundamental aspect of Yahadus. We have mitzvahs Pesach. Pesach is to connect us with the history of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shema, I would put in the realm of Eidos, that's to connect us with the notion Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's certainly philosophical. Ma'aseh Bereishis are both, in a certain regard, historical and philosophical. Shema Yisrael is a philosophical statement. It's Eidos. So where would we put the mitzvah Sefira Sayim? We certainly can't put it into Mishpatim. Right? I didn't hear that in most civil societies in the world ever did a Sefira Sayim. So I presume it's not Mishpatim. My mind rebels against the thought that it's being a chayk. The Rebbe Shem just told us, go get up and count. Why are you counting? None of your business, but just count, you know. Also not so mustav. So there ought to be a logical, that means somewhere it should fit into the realm of Eidos. It's connecting us with something significant in Klal Yisrael. Some significant idea. Something, some reason for it. And I would think that there are probably three different types of reasons that I know of. Two are very similar to each other, and we have to be very careful to delineate them. And one is from a totally different standpoint. In Sefer HaChinuch, we have the most famous of the reasons, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam told us, Moshe Rabbeinu, Otziyacho Asol Mitzrayim, Tavduna Selokim Al Haraza. You will worship at Har Chayrif, will receive the Torah at Chayrif. So the counting is in anticipation of this great event of Kabbalah Sater. It's always very vivid to me. I had a roommate, an old friend in a Chavrusa. So I remember he got married somewhere at the end of June, and he got engaged, and he had a calendar, 117 days till his wedding, 160, and he kept marking them off day by day until he got there. To count them. It's a significant event that he's looking forward, is anticipating it. And in actuality, the Sefer HaChinuch says we should really have a countdown to Sefer HaChinuch. We should go 49, 48, like they do in Cape Canaveral. Eloi says the reason is that it could get a little depressing when you're far away from something and you keep emphasizing how far you are from it. It can get great on your nerves. So it's easier to count. We finished one of the days, two of the days, without being specific about what the bottom line is. He says, according to that theory, he says, we ought to, in the second era of Sphira, really start to count them. But, he said, they didn't want to change mid-course, so they left it on the way up. That's what he writes, Sefer HaChinuch. Kitzur HaDvarim. So he, and he compares it. He says, Eved Yishav Tzel. You have someone that's enslaved. So at 4 a.m, it's in Israel, he's out in the fields. The sun is burning down upon him. It's 6 o'clock at night. He's still out in the fields. There's not a drop of shade. The heat scorches him. So what is he looking for? For that moment that he can step out of the sun and step under the shade of a tree, Eved Yishav Tzel. You know, it's another hour till he's able to step out of the sun and go into the shade. This is the most glorious thing. And we can't even begin to fathom the anticipation. He's scorched by the sun, he's parched by his thirst. He's just looking for some salvation. It's Eved Yishav Tzel. That's the way we anticipate receiving the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah. We understand that the entire purpose of our existence in this world, Bereishis Bara Elokim, is Bishvil HaTorah Shenikra Reishis. This is it. And without it, we have nothing but all. So therefore, we anticipated Kabbalah HaTorah. So the counting is in anticipation of Kabbalah HaTorah, and the counting perhaps each year is also. We have our own aspects of Kabbalah HaTorah, but that's not for tonight. So it's an anticipation of this great moment of Kabbalah HaTorah. That's the Sefer HaChinuch's approach, and it's perhaps rooted in the Kabbalah, or perhaps the Kabbalah is slightly different. In the, you know, we're a real Litvish shul here. You know, the Minhagim, to a very large extent, we follow, you know, many things of the Groh and of the Yeshivas. So, if you go to Chassidish shul, so the Sfira Sa'imer is a whole long process. And you have all types of Kabbalah, and it has a name, Alpi Kabbalah, according to the Zion Spheres, the seven spheres of Kabbalah. And each day has a combination of what week it is, and what day within the week it is, and a special tefillah, which is the Mesach and the Kalipa, the Chet of this particular day. So that's another hachona for Kabbalah Satorah. It's not just anticipation of receiving the Torah, it's an acknowledgement that when we left Mitzrayim, what did the Mekubalim tell us, the famous statement of the Shlo? They couldn't tarry. It's not referring, according to him, that Paro didn't let them tarry. He wanted to chase them out of there before they brought new trouble on him. The Medrash tells us he went at night to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, hey, you guys got to leave. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu tell him? A whole year is coming to him, telling him, Shalach Ami V'Yavduni. Comes to him in the middle of the night. No, I'm not leaving. What am I leaving? When the Rabbeinu Shah, I think in the morning God will tell me to leave. But then I'll leave. Right now I'm not leaving. I mean, Paro is climbing a tree. He wants to get rid of these guys in the worst way. Who knows what's going to come next with them around. But the Kabbalim don't learn that to v'lo yuchlu l'hismameya. It's not only because of Paro that he didn't let them stay. Lo yuchlu l'hismameya had to do in the ruchnias they couldn't stay. That we had so assimilated Egyptian culture. Like, what did the Malachim say before the Kisei HaKavod, when we were going through Yamsuf? Why do they have any better standing than Mitzvah? They're all idol worshippers. You know, what's the difference? This one is a person. This time, they have a different language in the cloister. What's the difference? You know, what's it all about? So we had reached a very, very low ebb in the Ruchnius. Our identity was principally an ethnic identity. We had different names, different language, different dress, but even Bris Mila had lapsed. So Now we're going to go, we'll go on to accept the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah. It's very nice. What do we say in davening? Want to learn? It's very nice to want to learn. But first we need kachena b'mitzvah secho. We need a certain sanctity which comes in the mitzvahs. That we should be worthy of learning the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah. Kuchubericho, Raraiso, Yisrael Chadu. It's a reflection of the divine, the Torah. So what do you mean? It's a phenomenal notion that a boss of Adam could learn Torah altogether. But a person that's a Tomei, how could he learn Torah? So before we received the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah, we had to prepare for the Torah. And we had to go each day was to rectify one of the levels of Tumah. Then we went through 49 days and we rectified all the levels of Tumah. Then we were fit to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. So from that standpoint, the Sfiras HaOmer is a time not only of anticipation for the Torah, but it was a time of preparation for Kabbalah HaTorah. So that's a little bit different slant than the Sefer HaChinuch. Talking about not only just the anticipation of receiving the Torah, but the process of becoming worthy to receive the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah. And that's what the Kabbalah seems to stress, more than just the anticipation of Kabbalah's Torah.
That's not what makes the 1 to 49 going up make sense.
Yeah, according to the Kabbalah, it makes, yeah, because we're basically rising in levels. In other words, we are pushing away a level of Tumah and acquiring that level of Torah at that level. We went to the first level, the second level, all the way till the 49th level. So that's the count up rather than the count down from the standpoint of the Kabbalah is very understandable. Now, the problem with both of these approaches is that they have no basis in the Mikra. They're very nice, beautiful approaches. And there's no reason to doubt them, but we can't imagine that's the totality of the story. I mean, Torah is at many different levels, but neither of these qualifies for the level of Pshat. Pshat, they're not. So the Shaila is, according to Pshat, what the Sefiras HaOmer were about. So, the Sforno, it's very interesting in this, at the beginning of Parshas Amayadis, V'ikraftim Isha L'Hashem Shibas Yomim, V'yom Hashim Yikra Kodesh, K'molekos Avoyed Eloi Sasu. So there he writes a whole Akdomo to Parshas Amayadis, what the Mo'adim are about. And therein, it's interesting, in the Pesukim itself, he doesn't comment later, but in the Hakdomo, he gives us yet a third insight into the Sefiras HaOmer. And he tells us the following. V'hischol dibur chag ha-shvuos, as we begin the discussion of chag ha-shvuos, it's interesting. Before we get to the yontif itself, right, we first have a parsha, and it ends with a samach. It's a whole parsha, which deals with the Korban HaOmer. Cutting the Omer, the korban that's brought with it. And we have Avesim is over, Rashid Tzirach Vainif is over, Vneshem, Vasisim, Biomidifim is over. Then there's a korban, Kevis Tomim Ben Shnosaloi Lo Lashem. Now, after this parsha ends about the Omer, then begins another parsha, Svartal Lechem Yimochros HaShavas. And then we have, finally, we get to crossing Be'etzam Ayom Mezimkar, Kodesh Yelachem, Komalechas Avoyed Eloi Sasa. It talked about how we're going to get up to the 50th day, and the Karbonus we're going to bring at that point. And then it says, Ad Mimoch Rosh Hashar Tisperu Chamishim Yom, and then V'yikraftam in Chokadosh Shel Hashem. So these are all the Karbonus which are associated with the 50th day. And at the end of that parsha, it finally tells us to cross on that 50th day, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. It's a day of Yom Tov. So we began with the Oima, we went to the Sefiras Oima, and then we discussed the Karbonos of Shavuos, and then at the end we finally get the Shavuos itself. So why do we begin Shavuos with a discussion of the Tziras Omer? That's where the parasha begins, and it leads us from that right into the Karbonos of Shavuos. So he tells us the following, the Svarim. When it starts, that's the new Daber of Bnei Yisrael. It's already, this is the introduction to Shavuos. Right? We don't have a new Daber for Shavuos, as he pointed out just before, that the earlier Parshias had one Vayedaber. And that took care of, that one Vayedaber took care of three Parshias. And as he mentioned before, oh dear, where are we? Kol Shabbos and Pesach and Chag HaMatzos, those three things together were in the first Vayedaber. Then after that, each Chag has a Vayedaber. So he says, Hishlosh Nitztavu Kodu Matan Torah. Shabbos, Pesach, and Chag HaMatzos were all before Matan Torah, before Har Sinai. Avo Shorom Ad Zichel Lechol Vayedib La'atzma. So here we have the next Vayedaber goes on until Shavuos. And then we start again, another Vayedaber. Vayedaber Hashem is about Rosh Hashanah. Vayedaber Hashem on Yom Kippur. And another Vayedaber Hashem on Sukkot. So this is the Vayedaber Hashem that will begin at the Sefiras HaOmer. That's the Vayedaber Hashem which deals with Chag HaShavuos, and that Maimer, and that Dibur. So why is this, he says? Ki me'oz mascho kotzer ba'omer. And because from that point in time we begin the harvest of the Omer, Usfiras HaShavuos, meaning at the beginning, as Pesach, as, you know, we got past Pesach, the first day of Pesach, that's when we kicked in. We're beginning the Kotzer, and that will begin with the Omer, which is of barley, Usfiras HaShavuos, and we count to 7 weeks. Shem be'inyan haChag haNikra Chag Kotzer v'Chag Shavuos. Shavuos is called both. It's called Chag HaKotzer, and it's called Chag Shavuos. Shebo nitin hadola kel yisbaruch. So there's two aspects to every chag according to him. It's hadola and tefillah. Reminiscent of the Mishnah, the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachos, a person that enters a krach, is nice in hadola avar, but tzayik ala osad. So the same is true with all of the Yom Tovim. So he says in Shavuos, is what's our Shavuos chukos kotzer, that the spring went forward in a fashion which was amenable to the thriving of the crops. They started to bud at the beginning of the spring. But now they went through the spring with amenable conditions that they should be ready to be harvested at Shavuos. Shoshom alonu. Ki omnom mikavonos haregolim. The regolim of twofold. Hema tefila v'haidon. It's tefila on the osir and ador on the over. And he goes through this. Come over moed chodesh over for Pesach. A tefillah that came along, we asked the Rabbeinu Shalom Yilam to bring in the Korbanos HaChag that the Aviv, the spring should proceed appropriately. Vayidor la'gula, and there's a door for the Gula's Mitzrayim. U'biyoyis ki atzlochas ha'kotzer tiyek v'fi mezeg hazman, that whether we succeed in agriculture will depend on the weather remaining appropriate from the beginning of spring to the harvest. The Omer is also a Hidor, the Korban Omer, like bringing Bikurim, he says. That was a Hidor for the past. That we got to this point, the crops started to grow. There's even something barley that's worthy of being harvested now. And then there's a Korban that goes with it, the Keves. The Korban is the Tefillah. Ala osed, that it should proceed well throughout the spring. Then he puts in this line, V'hoisa sfira zikoron letfilas yomim. The sfira is to point out to us, to single out each day, that each day is a day of tefillah. We shouldn't miss a day. You know, if I count the 15th day as a day, if I don't use the 15th day, it's gone. Yeah, on the 16th day I can be mispalo again, on the 14th I was mispalo, but the 15th is gone down the tubes, it's not coming back. Is v'hoyachaga kotzer when we come to Shavuos, hoydol tova tuva kotzer, Right, we have the Mincha Chadosh al Hashem, that's thanking the Rebbeinu Shel for the beginnings of the harvest. And the Karbonos that come then are the Tefillah al Osed. And then finally, the Chag al Osed, the Tuva Osed, that we managed to, the crops dried, and we brought them in to the warehousing as the winter begins. And the Karbonos are again a plea for the Rebbeinu Shel for the coming year. So, every Chag is a dawn the past, and the Omer is similarly. That the Ketzira Omer is, the Omer itself, the grain, the barley grain, is like giving Bikurim. And then the Korban is the Tefillah Al Osed. And he says the Sphira is Zikoron the Tefillah Yom Yom, is to remind us to be Mispalel. Each day is significant. Don't lose a day. Every day is important. So this is yet a third perspective. And this, according to the Sfarim, was rooted in the Etzim Parsha itself. In other words, it's just a fundamental understanding of the Parsha, of the Chagel, of the Haidor, which is inherent in each Chag, and of the Korbonos, which are Tefillah Al Osed. Now, I presume, I'm wondering if in Sukkos, which part is the Haidor in Sukkos? I'm just wondering if that's not the Lulav and Esrog, is maybe the Haidor. I'm not sure. You know, that maybe that's part of the Haidor. I'll call upon him. So this is another notion of Sphira, yet a third notion of the Sphira Salima. Now from this standpoint of the Sforno, what's abundantly clear, and I think up here according to the Mekabolim, it's also abundantly clear, that if we skip the day, the Chorot should not be Ma'akav, according to either of them. So I would ask you a very simple shayla. A guy, today is Tuesday. A guy davened Sunday. Monday slept the day away, didn't daven. So now he'll come to me Tuesday morning. He says, Rabbi, what should I do? So what should I tell him? Shagets, you didn't daven yesterday, don't daven today either. What you did yesterday, listen, we fixed that. That's beyond the discussion of the moment. Today is another day. You got to put on tefillin, you got to daven, you got to say Shema, that's it, be a mensch. So, if we're dealing that it's a zikaron for tefillah, so if I skip today, so what? Just because I skipped today, I don't have to be mispalel tomorrow for Hatzlacha. So I wind up with your rights. I missed the day, that I lost. I only have 48 days of tefillah, perhaps, not 40. No, so. If I don't have to be mispalel. Or if it's various tikkunim, so the chari, you have to do that too. If you have to double up one of them or figure out how you're going to make up for what you didn't do yesterday, but still, whatever, but it's still what to do today. You know, if it's a countdown, so maybe there you could start to wonder. But it's interesting, the question is, what is the relationship of the different days to each other in Sphira? So you would say that it's rooted in the notion of Tmimus, it's to be complete. And what is the completeness? Does the completeness mean all the 7 weeks? Now, it's the world generally says that what's the shailos of if the days are ma'akiv? Is it all one mitzvah or there are 49 different mini mitzvahs along the way? Now, it's interesting, the Sefer HaChinuch clearly does not learn that way. He also discusses, this is a machlokes of Tosis and the Bahag. And what's surprising is how much the Mechaber really took note of the Shita of the Bahag. I mean, Tosis is not very enthralled with the Bahag Shita, and nor are most of the Rishonim. So why this became such a factor of halacha is very interesting. But the Sefer HaChinuch has a different suggestion of what this machlokes is about. It's very interesting. Rav Soloveitchik, as a tzal, also interpreted the Sefer HaChinuch in this fashion, as Rav Schechter brings it to one of his form. And it's very interesting. There's a Satmar Dayan who wrote a Sefer on Sefer HaSa'ima. So he brings, I think, in close proximity to each other, two interesting sheetahs about Sefer HaSa'ima, but they go unnamed. So one of them was from Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, and the other one was from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So they were both, you know, yay shomrim. There are those that, you know, without attribution. But I give him credit, he was thorough.
Still wanted to sell a safer.
What? That's right. Yeah, listen. Suicidal he wasn't, you know.
Thinking of like what could have been like the third source on that same Madrega.
Rav Kook. Rav Kook could have been, you know, about a Satmas would have been Rav Kook.
Like complete a list now.
Yeah. I'll call upon him. So if you look carefully at the Lashon of the Sefer HaChinuch, he suggests a totally different approach to the lumdus of this Shaila. In the Shulchan Aruch, we'll start with the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says the following. If a person skipped the first night or any other night, then he has to count the rest of the nights without a bracha. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. So the Shaila is, what is the Shulchan Aruch telling me if you skip the first night or any other night? According to the approach that it's all one mitzvah, and if you missed part of the mitzvah, so you went down the tube. So what's the difference? Is the first night, the fifth night, the 19th night, the 23rd night, or the 48th night? What's the difference? I missed the night, and that's it. I don't have the whole mitzvah. Goodbye. That's it. I got the mitzvah. So what is the Shulchan Aruch saying, whether I skip the first night or any other night? What's the Shulchan Aruch have to do with that statement? It's a very interesting machaber. And it's interesting that the world glosses over it. There's very little, you know, commentary on what the toichen of this mechaber is. But if one stops to think about it, it's a very telling mechaber. The Sefer HaChinuch offers, it's b'kitz and nimrutz, you have to read very, very carefully. But if you read very carefully, I believe that's what it says. That the question is how we determine what the nights of Sefer are. What determination? And he says there are two types of approaches we could have. One approach is that each person, when you count it, I counted until, let's say tonight would be the 16th. So I counted 15 nights until tonight. So in my counting, I'm up to 16. So that's what makes this night, cast this night as the 16th. If I didn't count 15 yesterday, so I'm in trouble. And I'm not up to 16 again. So how could I say this is the 16th day of counting? I don't have the framework. I can't count to 15th anymore because then I should have counted yesterday. So I'm betwixt the between. So that would be the approach that if you skip the day, you messed up because you just can't say it's the 16th day of Sefirah. Then he has the second side, according to him, is forget this hapless Shmerel. You know, hapless Shmerel never didn't count yesterday. But Baruch Hashem, the rest of Klal Yisrael did count. So Mameila, forget him. I don't need him. I have all the Klal Yisrael counted yesterday. So God's Klal Yisrael, if today would be the 16th, so yesterday they counted 15. So Mameila, I don't need enough to worry about hapless Shmerel. Hapless Shmerel is part of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael counted yesterday as 15, so tonight is 16. That's the way the Sefer HaChinuch puts it. In other words, is the count established by the subjective Shmerel? Or is it established by the totality of Klal Yisrael? That's the shaila that he raises. Now, from that standpoint, if that's the shaila, then I understand the mechaber very well. I could very easily have said that as long as I counted the first night, I'm in good shape. Because once I counted night one, so now I established the calendar. That's it. There are 48 days to come after this. I started, you know, put the machine on. That's it. We punched in today's day one. So every day after that is registered. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, all the way up to 49. Could very well be. If I skip the day, so Mamela, that's what a Mechaber says. If you skip the first day, then you're really fried. Because Mamela, when you come tonight too, you can't say one and you can't say two. But if I skip day 15, what's the problem? By counting one on the first night, I could say, well, listen, I started the machine. So maybe each 24 hours, clicks forward, another click. So tonight's still the 15th, even if I missed the 14th. But since I counted one back at the beginning, so that's it. The clock is in motion. I put the clock on. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says that there is a chiddush. That it's not only if you skip the first night, that certainly you're fried. But if you skip the night in the middle, there is in fact a svara, according to the way the Sefer HaChinuch frames the Shaila, that it wouldn't affect you, that you can go on counting with a bracha all the rest of the nights. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says that if you skip the first or any other night, because there's a distinct chiddush in any other night. The first is obvious. Any other night is not so obvious. It's a chiddush. Yeah.
Okay, but there's another counter. Let's say a
zava
has to count every night. She skips a night. Is she
fried? That's because there's no mitzvah to count.
No, not
in counting in that way. She has 7 days after we lapse. I don't know. There is a sheet that it holds. We don't paskin like that. She has to say ayom yom rishon, ayom yom sheni. You don't have to.
So the basement stays. Was it Sanhedrin that counted? The basement counted.
For what?
Every one of us counted.
For,
and the time the basement.
No, every one of us counted. No, the ayom, everyone counted.
Always.
That's why it says the simple yisoid is that what it says with safar tolcho, which it says by shmi by yoivo. And here in our pasha it says it's Sfartem Lochem. So why is that Beloshin Yochid? This is Beloshin Ram. So the simple approach to this throughout, you know, Chumash is that if it's with Sfarto Lecha, then it means something like the Sanhedrin. Somebody counts for all of Klal Yisrael, some entity. When it says it's Sfartem Lochem, it means all of you should count, not just the Yochid.
I know this is wild, but could you say by Arvus that we're all part of a totality? And
that's sort of like the last sword, and I'm part of the totality, and the Klal Yisrael counted, so I'm part of Klal Yisrael. So.
Well, if you don't do what do you call it, Erev Tavshilin, you still get done.
Well, it depends. Not always.
It says somebody, the Rav does it for the Chalai or
that's just as an aside. But what you have to realize is the following. When you do b'chole, that it just by saying b'chole erezos, it doesn't work. Okay? You have to make a kinyan to be makna chelik in the eruv to everybody that lives within the tchum. If you don't do that, you can say b'chole erezos all you want, and the eruv is not going to work.
Well, somebody makes the eruv for the neighborhood.
It's only
the
can
eruv of the, what do you call it?
The eruv chateris.
Huh?
Yes, yeah, so the mezaka, you need a kinyan. The mezaka, everyone a chelik. Somebody has to make a kinyan for everybody.
Does that continue into the...
The eruv chateris does not touch eruv tashilim, the two separate things. So it's true, it's the responsibility of the rov to make an eruv tashilim for the whole tzibur. So every time I have to look, because you're certainly not supposed to use your wife, really, because you're one entity to make the kinyan. So I have to find somebody to make the kinyan erev yontif. You know, whether some guy knocks on the door with a shayla and I schlep him in to make the kinyan, or one of my married children comes, you know. And when my daughter was in the house erev Pesach, so I made the, you know, she made the kinyan.
I can't do that on purpose, though. I forgot. Good. I'll use you once.
Yeah. If you, the halacha is, if you would know beforehand, if I told you that I'm making the Erev to include you, you're fine. But if you did not enter Yontif with that plan, and I didn't have in mind that, oh, Sam Kasavs is going to use my Erev, then you're not the Chatchila. Then there's a whole Shaila, what happens if you did it more than once.
Where's your now, Shabbat Tais, is making the whole Erev for all of Elizabeth?
If he didn't have you specifically in mind, and you didn't have specifically in mind to be yaitzu with this, you're not supposed to do that lechatchila.
So can you be mezaka the oilam in case somebody doesn't do the Tirasa Omer?
No. That's a good one. It's sort of all, you know, the old yeshivish joke, you know. The guy, you know, the yeshiva had a fine, you know, 25 cents, he didn't show up to Minyan in our days. So a guy shows up one day, gives the Moshe, and says, listen, here's $5, I'll see you in 3 weeks, you know. So another guy, you know, wants a guy, listen, I'll pay a guy, listen, $10 a day to put on tefillin for me, you know. So mitzvah shavu guf, you can't exactly foist it off on someone else. Elliot's an Oyev Yisrael, he wants to be mezaka, everybody. That's, you know.
But if it's a mitzvah of a group, also, how are we connecting him with the tzibur to take advantage of when you miss one day.
Well, because what we're saying is like this, because he has to count, but the determination of what day it is not in his mitzvah shabukuf. That's determined by Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael determines what day of the sphere. Now you have to count that day, whatever day it is. But
so
they make the count.
If you didn't count the day?
So Mameila, so you still, they still made a calendar. So tomorrow is still the 17th day of the sphere. I don't make the calendar.
So in other words, so he didn't do the mitzvah.
He missed the mitzvah, but the calendar still exists. Yeah.
The count
continues. Yeah. Now, we have in all of this, so, as I said, why the Bahag became, achieved such stature in this particular halacha, I don't know. I can't fathom it. I guess it's a little bit of similar, I guess, how careful the Bahag was about Brocha Levatolo. You know, he ate the mitzvah by counting even without the Brocha. So he won't have the Brocha, listen. Now, if there's a suffix, if I counted yesterday, whatever the suffix may be, whether the suffix is I don't remember if I counted altogether, or I just don't know if I counted right. Now, if a person, noble intentions in this world don't necessarily help you. You know, a guy came to shul last night, and he counted 16. Now he comes to shul tonight, and he sees that we're not counting 17 tonight. So listen, he had noble intentions. He made the bracha, he came to shul, he counted. But it's a halftim garnish. That doesn't help him at all. Now he's fried. He can't go on counting with a bracha. He didn't count yesterday. The noblest of intentions, he still didn't count. Now let's say he doesn't remember. He's just, I don't know. I'm a little nervous that I didn't count properly yesterday. Because I'm a little shocked that they're not at 17 today. But again, I don't know what happened. Maybe I did count and I just forgot. So then the halacha is that he can go on counting with a bracha. So the official, the simple version of the Shulchan Aruch is that mitzat svek sveiko, maybe I did count. And in case I didn't count, the nights are not ma'akev. So maybe I can go on counting with a bracha. And that's the way the Magen Avraham learns. That seems to be that's the simplest pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. The problem is that the Chayodim, at the beginning of Chayodim, the Klolei Abrochas, and there's a similar Prima Godim, I think, in the intro to the Prima Godim, in the beginning of Aruch Chaim, but the Prima Godim as well, that you don't make a Brocha, mi Svek Sveka. And the concern for Brocha Levatolo, even Svek Sveka is not enough to get you over the bump.
Yes, it's Sofek Brocha Levatolo, isn't that the rule?
But the question, that's a Sofek, but I don't have a Sofek. If you have a sveksveker, can I eat? If I have a sveksveker, something's kosher, can I eat it?
Yeah.
So why don't you say sofek deraisa l'chumra? Because a sveksveker, basically, at some level, operates like a rove. Whatever it is, it's mamash a rove. It's similar to a rove, however. And that's shaylas achroinish, shaylas rishonim, shaylas suvas.
Seems to be right there up on the Omer nowadays.
Yeah, so certainly. So listen, if I can eat a piece of meat, which is a isa deraisa based on a spek sveika,
right.
So why can't I make a brocha on a mitzvah derabbanan?
Right.
But so some learn, but they works, but the prima godim and the chayodim at the beginning of the chayodim has a similar klolei a brocha. Says even a spek sveika is not enough to get you to make a brocha.
Mm-hmm.
So now, so there's two types of approaches. So why, in fact, we rely upon what's the pshat, why we suffer to make a brocha. I think that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach puts it this way, that principally the din is that the nights are not ma'akev. It's overwhelmingly in the Rishonim that way. And Ramayla, good, we, so whatever reason, the Shulchan Aruch decided to impose a chumrah, but it's a chumrah, not to make the brocha. So if there's another tzad already that maybe I really didn't mess up, so that was samech on the fact of most Rishonim. That's, in other words, you're not starting over the 50-50 suffix. It's a suffix that we almost don't even know why we're machmer in the first place. I think that's the way he puts it. The Chayodom finds himself pinched. Like he holds he can't make a brocha misvek, but the Shulchan Aruch says he can make a brocha misuffik. So listen to the Chayodom in Hilchos Sfira. The Chayodom has a whole shtickle Torah here. This is the Chayodim Klal Kuflamer Aleph. Sif Gimel. Hoyim Esupik. So first he paskin that if you skip the night, you go on counting without a broch. Suppose he's unsure if he missed the night or not. Sefer Shor Alelos B'Brocha. You count the rest of the nights with the Brocha. Now listen what he does. Daha Yeshayim the Sfirah B'Zmanazah with the Raisa. Some say Sfirah B'Zmanazah is the Raisa. Vim Kein Havi Sofik the Raisa B'Brocha Misofik. And you would make a Brocha Misofik. Now this is our Rebbe. This is a big Chiddush which most Poskim don't pass. There is such a Knesset Hagdol in Siman Nun Zayin. It says like this, that if it's a suffix, let's say it's, I don't know, the first day of, I don't know if I ate matzah the first night of Pesach, or I was, or if I, well, I don't know if I was yaitzi, so I have to eat again, suffix the rice of the chumrah. Well, since you have to do it again, so you have to make a broch on it. That's the sheet of the Knesset HaGdol. We do not paskin like that. I'll come back to why in a moment, but the, even though it's suffix the rice is on the mitzvah, but it doesn't touch the broch of the basket. So he's paskining like the sheet of, that if it's a sofik deraisa l'chumra, you make the bracha again. Who the toisis is sfirul of the sfirul is one as a enuel midrabanon. I toisis holds as midrabanon. A sfirul who's a toisis himself holds, a filu vavadi to the gomech at sefer b'brocha, you can't put the bracha. A sfirul who the chol yomo mitzvah v'fnei atzmo. Right? I and Masha kasaf de vilchus brochas klal hei v'nish b'sodom. This is where he gets down klal hei, is where he has this halacha. Verily do adim restabuk because the sober esmal hoya die in yoyim. Let's say he thinks he may be counted too early as dina hochi. So he has a ganze shtik of terror because he's caught l'shitose, it doesn't stim. Now it happens to be on this issue, I said, the Welt really does not paskin like him. In other words, by a mitzvah that's besophic, so we do rice in the chumra, we do not make a broch in a second time. It's really, in paragraph, unless it's a milo, it's a machlaikis of the ga'inim and the riff. Right, it's a case of Sofik Orla Kfusha, Charles Borner. He appears to be Gemalt, but maybe there is some subtle type of Orla, so you have to do a Hatofa. So do you make a Brocha on it or not? So that's a Machloikas, the Riff in the Ga'inim, if you make a Brocha on it. So I thought that the Pshat is, because the Shaila is, what do you make the Brocha on? Is the Brocha on the Maisa HaMitzvah or on the Kiyam HaMitzvah? If it's in the Maisa HaMitzvah, I'm a Chuyif to do it. I mean, even if I ate Matzah, but I'm a Chuyif to eat Matzah again, so there's a Maisa HaMitzvah. If it's on the Kiyam HaMitzvah, if I ate matzah once, I picked up the lulav and esek and I was yotzei, so that's it. I'm not going to be yotzei a second time. This is only a stopgap in case I wasn't yotzei, I'll fulfill it. But I'm not going to be yotzei for a second time. So if it goes on the Kiyam HaMitzvah, so then you can make a bracha misafik, and that, I believe, is what we're noig la'alocha most achreinim. So someone asked me, I once said this in Eretz Yisrael, Yiri Lamdan came to me. She says, Reb Chaim Brisk brought a raya that it must be on the Maisa HaMitzvah, not on the Kiyam HaMitzvah. Why? Because let's say I appoint the Moyel to do a bris for me. So he makes a bracha the Moyel. He's not being Mekayim the Mitzvah. I'm the father. So what's he's only doing the Maisa HaMitzvah. So it must be the bracha goes in the Maisa HaMitzvah. This is Reb Chaim's raya. So I answered him that there's a run at the end of Rosh Hashanah. We didn't get there. We'll get there soon. And the Ran says that how does the din of Arvus work? Oh, you saw the Raven Zelazah. So the Ran says the din of Arvus is that it's my obligation to help every other Jew fulfill his mitzvahs. So when you're Mekayim a mitzvah, I assist you to Mekayim. It's almost, it's my mitzvah too. Because if you have a bris milah, do you have kiddush to make? I'm obligated. If I'm obligated in that mitzvah, I'm obligated to help every other Yid fulfill that mitzvah too. So there's a kiyam. I also have a kiyam ha-mitzvah in doing it. I answered them. So Mamela, according to the Ran, I could go back and I could still say it's on the Kiyam HaMitzvah, not on the Maisa HaMitzvah. Okay.
If you say it's on the
Maisa HaMitzvah,
I already ate
Matzah. So half a piece of Yotzah is Moitzi. That is half the Din Arvus. There was a Din Arvus, in other words, in the Maisa HaMitzvah. I presume.
Where he says, not only don't say the shame, but if you do say it, don't say the kind of thing. I'll say it.